Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Whoop, personalized digital fitness and health coach. John and Nathan Florence have both been using Whoop for over 3 years now to balance their training both in and out of the water. Now, Whoop is introducing the all-new Whoop 4.0, latest, most advanced fitness wearable on the market. Monitor your recovery, sleep, training and health, personalized recommendations, and coaching feedback with Whoop. Train smarter, recover faster, sleep better, and now feel healthy with Whoop. The all-new 4.0 is smaller, smarter, and designed with new biometric tracking, including skin temperature, blood oxygen, and more. The device also features an all-new smart alarm, designed to wake you up feeling refreshed and ready to take on the day. Plus, it was designed with anywhere technology, so you can wear it with their Whoop body sensor-enhanced technical garments. The all-new health monitor dashboard gives you a big picture look at your overall health. Monitor key metrics like heart rate, resting heart rate variability, skin temperature, and blood oxygen levels. Plus, see improvements in irregularities and vital signs over time. You can even export 30-day health trends to share with your coach, trainer, PT, PCP, or physician. The all-new waterproof device is free when you sign up for a Whoop 4.0 membership. For any members, if you have 6 months left of your membership on your account, you can upgrade now and get the 4.0 for free. Right now, Whoop is offering 15% off when you use the code BEACHGRIT at checkout. Go to Whoop, WHOOP.com, and enter BEACHGRIT at checkout. Save 15%.
Hello and welcome to Dirty Water, the compendium podcast to BEACHGRIT, the antidepressive surfish website. I'm Derek Riley, and today's guest, Ronnie Hill, aka Skull, is a surfer, an ex-bodyboarder to be precise, who first rode the wild reefs of Cronulla, Shark Island, Voodoo and so on, 3 decades ago. Skull was among those intrepid bodyboarders who first rode Cape Solander and Botany Bay's southern flank in the 80s. And this was years before a pact was struck with Maroubra surfers, where Cronulla's Boogs would get Shark Island and the Bra Boy Solander, the joint swiftly renamed ours. These days, Skull is the king of the jetboard, a gasoline and electric-powered sled that removes the paddle imperative and is so damn easy to ride, a competent surfer can be sticking the $20,000 things inside barrels within one day. A couple of Sundays ago, a guest thrilled spectators by riding his craft to victory at Shark Island, one viewer begging the question, what is this sorcery? Of course, not everyone is thrilled. This warrants violence, wrote one. The interview begins with Skull describing the scene at Shark Island on that fateful Sunday 2 weeks ago.
Just coming in from Blackwoods, actually far away from the island, seeing that, because my view is a lot more clearer than everybody else, and I can see the sets coming, so I can line it up well in advance, and I can see where the lineup is, and I can see where they're starting and what they're missing. So I'm trying to sort of stay on the inside, because knowing I've surfed this place for 30-odd years, knowing how the wave breaks, and also trying to sort of give everybody else space as well, which means it's a little bit hard. But and at the end there, I had to pull back because there was guys on the shoulder, and I ended up going over dry rock.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Is that when you...
I fell off.
Yeah, right. So you describe what happened there? Because you can't always use your engine to get out of trouble, can you?
No. It's an assist on the wave, because once you're on the wave, you're not using any power.
Yeah.
You tap into the wave itself, and you're using the power to position more than anything.
Yeah.
and it allows you then to be more in control of what's happening.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, you can get more waves.
Yeah.
But you got to keep that in mind too.
Are you really conscious of that? That's getting every set?
Conscious. I've been doing this for like 12 years now, and I like to keep my record how it is. No, I have never hit anyone or done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And that's how I want to keep it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And I tend to... This day I had friends watching, so I hung around on the wave a bit longer than I used to. Usually I'll catch one or two waves and head off to the next break.
Okay.
And keep travelling.
So you're not out there for 30 minutes just getting every set?
No, I move on because I can surf all the breaks on the beach.
Right, okay.
So that's what I tend to do. I spread myself out. So by the time I come back, it's 20 minutes later and sets have gone through and everyone's probably got a bag full already.
Yeah.
And it's probably my turn now anyway.
Yeah. So give your response to some of the comments. Panda Surfboard said it's a lineup full of boogs. I would have done the same thing all day long. But it's ironic because you're a booger
original,
from way back.
I'm the booger from the original, the old school. It's me and the boys that we started this whole booger thing out there, and we're the ones started serving all the slabs and creating all the aerial manoeuvres, and that's back in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, so how old are you?
50 now.
Yeah, right, okay. But you're a contemporary of all those great bodyboarders, Dave Ballard, Steve McKenzie,
Wingnut, Eppo, Rissell,
Eppo. Yeah, that's Port Macquarie. But...
Yeah, all of them, the guys from up north. Yeah, that was all us. We were making boards, shaping the bodyboards, all the mods and cons that you're seeing today.
Yeah.
We're the ones that tried it and thought of them and made them happen.
So when did you first surf the island?
When I was 13.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So was that 37 years ago?
Wow.
That makes 1985.
Jeez, that long ago.
So yeah. Describe that. You wouldn't have been that many people surfing the island out there. I guess Banksy would have been there.
Yeah, well, the guy I was learnt from was Doug Robson.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Dougie and Brett which passed away.
I know, obviously. Poor Brett in Japan. Huh?
He passed away in Japan, and the videos, you know, him and his, he was the first boy band, I guess you could say.
Yeah, Brett. And that great song. Yeah, Rip in the Pit. Rip, El Rolo, Punch the Lip.
Yeah.
Actually, we'll put that clip in this little, in the story that accompanies this podcast because it's a formidable song and it was produced by this great Australian producer, Molly Meldrum.
Yeah.
And shot down in Maroubra with Ross Hawke and all the famous famous boogs from all the day.
Yeah, so that was us. That was our scene. That was we started creating that sort of bodyboard culture back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, chasing the biggest waves, finding these spots that no one surfed before, which today is now like Cape Solanders and down the coast.
So when did you surf Solander?
About that same time.
In the late 80s?
Yeah, before, you know. I'd seen sort of old photos of the older boys on surfboards. Body surfing it back then.
It's called Pucker's Hole or something, wasn't it?
Something like that. So me and the boys and Warren Feinby.
Yeah.
Warren was my wingman. It was mainly me and Warren most of the time. And, we surfed it together. I got pumped into the ledge. He had a better day than me that day.
And then you guys got shooed away at about 12 years later?
Yeah. The story was one of the guys, a couple of the boys got a photo of it out there. They flipped it and made it look like a left.
Mm-hmm.
But the bra boys saw that tower in the background.
Yeah.
And worked out where it was.
Yeah.
And then it's history since then.
Yeah, because you guys got shooed away pretty quickly, didn't you, brother?
Yeah, we got shooed off pretty quick. Man, there's other groups as well that had a go at it, bodyboarding groups. But that we still had, like, Shark Island, Fifth Lefts, Voodoo, Suck Rock. We were spoiled down here for it.
So the Bra Boys kind of made that thing where they would stay away from Shark Island and as long as you guys stayed away from Solander.
That's why they called it ours.
Yeah, yeah, because it's not yours anymore.
Yeah.
So some of the quotes we had were pretty funny. You have to give the man credit. He's been a pest to Shark Island for years. However, on Sunday during a bodyboard comp, managed to run through the lineup for about 30 minutes. Every single person there told him to fuck off, and he just kept doing laps, kind of finding it funny. Is that true?
Half of the guys I knew out there, half of the guys knew who I were.
Yeah.
They're a little sort of bit older, but that younger generation that are out there,
obviously
they don't know who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think... some of the boys out there had a word said, you know, like, chill out, you know, he's not going to hit you.
Yeah.
He's not going to do anything. He's just going to, when the biggest wave comes through, just watch out, here he comes. So
did you get some good caves that day?
I got maybe one.
Yeah.
But it wasn't prime like some of the other days I've had out there. But it was more for, like, Gary had his young son, Sonny's young son, and wanted to see me surf it.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know there was a contest out there until I got out there.
Yeah.
And it was Desi, which, big, you know, hats off to Desi, because Desi is the one of the guys that keeps bodyboarding running in Cronulla.
So who's Desi?
Desi was one of the younger boys in my day.
Yeah. What's his full name?
Oh, I can't remember his last name. He's got Emerald. So Emerald.
Right, okay.
So Emerald Bodyboards.
Yeah.
So he purchased the shop and he was in Cronulla for a while.
Yeah.
He was sort of under me, like the young crew behind us.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he took the shop and he run it, and I think if it wasn't for him,
yeah,
we wouldn't have any bodyboard, that thing happening in Cronulla anymore.
Yeah, because I guess there's Cronulla and Port Mac and that's kind of it, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and Desi kind of, you know, for he's in the passion for it like all of us, and he's got that next generation under him.
Yeah, yeah.
So that followed up behind him.
Yeah. Which is, so post-bodyboarding, how did you get into the jet board?
The jet board is a step before. There was another one before it. I was in freestyle jet skiing.
Right.
Which we mentioned before.
Yeah, the stand-up things.
Yeah, the rip and ride with, you know, all the boys from Cronulla, a handful of underground boys.
So this is early 2000s or?
Yes, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And, again, trying to get away from the crowds, going out surfing fifth lefts, trying to get away from it all. So trying to get some sort of craft that I could do that with. And also, by this stage, I'm carrying injuries from bodyboarding.
Mm, like neck injuries and back injuries.
Shoulders, necks. Like most of the boys, like Doug and Warren, they break their backs out there and things like that over the years. So as you're getting older, looking at another ways to still charge it.
Mm. It's funny because all the older bodyboarders, they kind of have the big shoulders and kind of the necks are a bit fucked. Yeah. Kind of walking around like that. Yeah. That's what you think. Like, you look like you're such a bodyboarder.
Yeah, we're a bit fucked up.
Yeah. We've been thrown into the roof so many times.
Yeah, that many times.
And scorpion, huh?
Yeah, ankles hitting you in the back of the head.
Yeah,
so, but, you know, it's all part of it, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, went into the jet skiing thing, which at the time it was we only had one jet ski, a super jet that I could get, and I got that, and I was with R&R Jet Skis, which is a shop at Tarrant Point, working with them, saying, look, this is what I want to do with it, and they're like, it doesn't happen. You can't do that. But over the years, I managed to get it to happen, and then there was a small crew in Cronulla, and, you know, so we got together and we were out there and doing our thing and progressing it. There's a small crew in America, and then there's one or two guys in Brisbane.
And we used to run the Boog at this stage at all, or had you just totally just shelved the Boog?
No, shelved it.
Yeah.
Shelved it, thought, you know.
Because once you get a taste of power.
You get a taste of power,
yeah,
it's like a poison.
Yeah. And also, I guess, getting away from the crowds too.
That too. So I would be surfing out fifth lefts and voodoos and by myself.
Yeah.
Like there's no one else around, which at first was scary and really demanding, but there was times I got caught out. There's times I was getting sucked out of the sea.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, here we go. I'm just going to have
to. Because you couldn't go against the current or something?
Yeah, because this is not a sit down. This is a stand up.
Yeah.
So they're a totally different thing to a jet ski. What people understand what a jet ski is. This is a class in its own, just like a jet board is different to a similar class to a surfboard, but it's in its own class again.
Yeah.
And the development of these things, they're quite small. Some of them, like the manufacturers that started rising, one of the skis was called a foot rocket. That's how small it was.
Oh really?
Because all you could do is put your feet on it.
So how big was it? 3 or 4 feet long or something?
No, it was about 5'2".
Holy smoke.
And it was only about a metre wide.
Yeah.
And you stood and had a pole that comes up.
Yeah.
So it's a tiny thing.
Is that what you kind of the thing you were riding?
Yeah, that's what we developed. Yeah. That's what I was developing. And what happened was it tended to go more motocross. So once we started the rip and ride, the social events and stuff, we had guys coming from Krusty Demons and all the motocross riders coming to the event and doing that because the manoeuvres that were pulling off in the surf were the same manoeuvres that were pulling off on dirt bikes.
Yeah.
So it all overlapped.
The loops and stuff off the
back. Yeah, we're doing loops, back flips, aerials, all that. And 30 feet out.
Wow.
Which, to me, once you're 30 feet out off a 10-foot wave, that weightlessness and the airtime, it was just, it was gold. That's what I enjoyed about that sport the best. And then, you know, we had the rip and ride, the social event. We had clinics, training.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boat Harbour shut down.
Right. And so for people who don't know what Boat Harbour is, because we have a lot of American listeners.
It's the far north end of Cronulla Bay.
Yeah.
Where you can access it with your car onto the beach, where this is what this equipment needed. You needed, it couldn't, they weren't, and they're not a jet ski, they're a surf craft that you have to have your equipment and your setup straight in front of you because you're close to shore.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going out really far because when it fails, you've got to retrieve it, restart it and get back out again.
I guess you need to carry fuel and
the logistics stuff. Are huge.
Yeah. Did you need a trailer for those things?
They were small enough that we had trolleys.
Right, okay.
So you could put it on a trolley and chuck it on the back of your ute.
Right, okay.
It's pretty small.
Yeah.
And that sport sort of, once the area got shut down, we couldn't go anymore.
Yeah.
The guys couldn't train. We couldn't practice.
Yeah. Did it get shut down for launching? Because it's still open now, isn't it?
Yeah, it got shut down because in summertime we get a lot of people out there that aren't from the area, that weren't in that sport. They were just recreational jet skiing, which is a problem.
Oh, so they shut it down for jet skiing?
Yeah, the small few...
We just gone mad, gone ham out there.
Yeah, huh? weren't respecting
I remember when we first got out skiing at Stab, we went a bit mad out there.
Yeah, but this was like amongst the public and stuff, so it wasn't going to last long.
Yeah.
So once they took the training side away from us, the whole industry sort of started closing down again.
And is that when you pivoted to jetboards?
Yes. That's when I saw it and I thought...
Where did you see it?
Well, I started making one out of a board,
cutting
up old surfboards.
Yeah. But had you seen it somewhere?
Not yet.
No, it's just totally in your head.
So fortunately, at the same time, there was a company in Czech Republic. Well, it wasn't a company, it was a bunch of engineers who were starting the very first jet surf. And I managed to see a picture and a video.
Mm.
And then I thought, okay, these guys are trying to do the same thing I'm doing. And just out of sheer fate, I don't know how they found me, they contacted me, they got through to me, and they said, here's your ticket. We want you to come to our company and be involved in this project. And that's where it went from there.
Yeah.
And that's 12 years ago.
So they had a factory in Prague, so you flew over, and what did they ask you to do?
When I got there, they said, okay, we've seen all your jet ski stuff, your freestyle. How are you getting these things to work on the water? And that's obviously what they wanted.
Mm.
Because back then they were all combustion engine. Now we're full electric as well. And I said, yeah, okay, let's do this. And we did a sort of a contract. It was great. Everything was paid for. It was cool. I was in a different country.
Yeah.
They were taking me around Prague.
Prague's a good, fun town, isn't it?
And they were taking me to Switzerland. And they were taking me to all these places I'd never been before. And also they were taking me into the Renault Formula One facility.
So it was Renault engineers, you were saying?
It was Renault engineers. It was like their little mates, and it was their side project. But they were using the facilities at the very beginning. And then once they realised, we're onto something here, Martin branched out on his own. And Martin was also...
Does Martin the guy who created the company?
Martin, yeah, he's the owner of the company.
Yeah. What's his full name?
You're
not good with names, are you?
Oh, they've got funny
just
names.
Just Martin, Desi.
They've just taken these...
It doesn't matter, huh? It
doesn't matter.
As long as it's Ronnie Hill.
Yeah. So, yeah, they... his mates got together, one did the motor, one did the hull, and I was with them there doing that. And when I got there, they were just starting to produce them, but they couldn't nut them out. And every board that went out was returned. It was a failure. And that's when I got into it and started getting it better with them. And that's when they realised, okay, they got something here. And then they managed to get a government grant, how it usually goes. You know, if you got something successful, it's working and it's hiring and... They were actually in the first facility where I went there was a military technical college. So I had to go through all this scrutineering before I could get in the gates and everything like that. And then they showed me one of the parts of the college. It had like full jump fighter jets and stuff in there. And they go, you can't talk about this stuff. Because it was a military place. And then a few years, when we finished up there, then they just said, okay, they built their own facility. Their own factory and everything like that, and that's where they are today.
And this is jet board, isn't it?
This is jet surf.
Jet surf, sorry.
Yeah.
And so tell me, when did you first ride one of these things on the surf?
When I got back from Bruno. Actually, and then before that, I think we were just lake riding and testing. It was a lot of testing. I didn't get to ride in the surf. It was all about testing and months of testing and development. And then when I was ready to come back home, I was saying, look, okay, now this is when we've got to push this with big wave surfers. And that was back in the day when the video came out of Kyalani riding Jaws and Hamilton riding one. And that, and
once the jet boards at Jaws.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was a jet surf one.
That was a jet surf. That was one of my... I was involved.
So it was one of your designs?
Yeah, well, my tech was in it.
Yeah.
And that was my direction to go with the big wave surfers.
And what feedback did you get from Laird and Kai?
Well, when it first went out, the website crashed.
Oh, yeah?
It crashed for 2 weeks straight.
Wow.
It just kept crashing and crashing and crashing.
The jet surf website?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then by the time that was going through, I was already booked to come back home. And I was just talking over over the internet and that. And that's when they did, okay, the whole trip to Hawaii. I said, you got to take about 9 boards. They flew it all over. They took the engineers with them. And that's the whole part there like that. And but because they were all back from GP racing and cars and stuff, they wanted to just do a MotoGP circuit tour. So that's where the company's been ever since.
Right, okay.
And they travel the world doing it like a normal GP would go to different countries and compete.
On the water or like on lakes and stuff?
Just lakes and bays and surf.
No surf, okay. So tell me about the board you're riding at Shark Island, because I can see it in front of me, this beautiful green and silver thing with an electric motor and a regular motor and a carbon helmet. Tell me all about it. How big is it?
That one's probably the shortest one. What would we say? That's like under 5 foot. It's a short one, narrow. It's much narrower, lighter.
Yeah. It's about 20 inches wide?
Yeah, about that. Deep chimes, deep fins, carved fins. It's specifically designed for riding in the barrel, where the other ones are more designed for carving and stuff like that. It's pretty much like it's the same as having a quiver, different boards for different waves.
Mm.
But being that it has the propulsion... it allows you to do a lot more.
Can you describe the engine in detail?
The engine is the engine that was developed by one of the guys that originally is from KTM, which is another European company.
Yeah.
And he developed that engine.
Are they Dutch or something?
Dutch, I think they're Dutch. And he developed that engine with Martin, who developed the original board.
Mm.
And ever since that, they've just constantly evolving and tweaking it. So then now they have fuel injection, and also now the next stage is, which they've gone to, is full electric.
Right.
Which is the best way to go.
Yeah. But you were saying the technology of the batteries are too heavy for the surf.
Yeah, so the batteries, I can't build a battery light enough at the moment.
Yeah.
I can build a battery that works, but it's too heavy still.
And you get 10 minutes on your electric.
I get 45 minutes on that board. So I only have 45 minutes out there.
With
what I have at the moment.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah. So that's a 100cc regular engine married to the
battery. Married to the electric motor.
And that charges the electric motor when it's going?
No, this is total loss system.
Right, okay.
So it has an ECU in there with a battery, which you charge, and that gives you about 2 hours worth of electric time.
Yeah.
But it has to coincide with the combustion engine, so really it's 45 minutes.
Right, okay. So do you just have that in the back of your car and you run down with it?
Yeah, just grab it, pick it up, run out. It's just like a normal surfboard.
Yeah.
Like that.
And you just jump in the, just carry it down the water's edge and off you go?
Yeah, I actually, depends if it's really far away. I have a trolley, we have trolleys for the paddle boards.
Yeah.
Just to make it a bit easier. Because sometimes you're going up a wander and it's a really steep sandhill.
Yeah.
And after you've done 45 minutes straight non-stop standing up.
Yeah.
And then you've got to carry this 12-kilo board up a sandhill. So, yeah, it's pretty full on at times. And that's if you haven't been belted on a big swell day.
Yeah. How many waves can you catch? And I know it depends on the swell and everything, but on a day it's just pumping.
Well, when I get spots like down the coast or somewhere, sometimes around here, when there's no one around, usually when it's big, depends. Like I probably could get 4 waves in a set, 5 waves in a set.
Holy
depends
shit.
How long the ride, depends how hard it is to get back out, because... If it's closing out too.
Yeah.
Because even if the wave's closing out, it's still effective.
Yeah. Because I guess it doesn't close out if you're on a good power.
Because you can always doggy door it.
Yeah.
So you can sit inside this closeout.
Yeah.
To the very last minute and just doggy door it out, which is not the best. You want proper, you want great clean waves.
Yeah.
but you can't get them all the time.
Where have you had your most phenomenal barrel on that thing?
Fifth left.
Yeah?
Everywhere, up and down the coast, in Brisbane, down Victoria, Phillip Island. We had Phillip Island once.
Oh, yeah? Like
off the point of...
EP or something?
Yeah, that far, far point of Phillip Island.
Yeah.
We went down there to watch Mato GP, and this day before it, it was just firing. And it runs all the way down for like about a K almost.
Yeah.
No one out.
Right.
So, yeah, that was great. And, yeah. And the other thing too is, like, you get to see all the marine life under you.
Yeah. Are they attracted by the noise and stuff?
Well, dolphins aren't afraid. Dolphins would just be underneath me and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, okay, once when you see, like a shark or something.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a hammerhead.
Yeah.
And...
What, I had a fifth left or something?
No, it was at Wanda.
At Wanda?
Wanda. So, he... Every time I went towards it, it went away.
Yeah.
So
how big was it?
It didn't look that big, probably an a metre longer than the board.
Right, okay, so 6 foot or something.
Yeah. But, yeah, every time I tried to get near it, it just would go away from me.
Yeah.
So while I'm out there, I guess the sharks don't like it.
That's good to know, huh?
Yeah.
The dolphins like it, but the sharks?
The sharks don't.
So they're pretty expensive, though, aren't they? If you want to go get a jet surfboard, you said it was 20 grand?
Yeah. At the moment, with things are, it's between 12 to 20, depending on the model.
Yeah. But if you wanted to surf Shark Island, you'd probably want to get one of the higher end.
You'd have to get one of mine because the manufacturers don't make a surf-specific board.
So how does someone get one of your boards?
I have not really been making them for anyone. I have all the moulding and the tooling for it, so it's been mainly family and friends.
Right, okay. But yeah. If someone wanted one, they could contact you and...
They could contact me and we could discuss it, but it'd be, like, depending what is it you want to do, what sort of waves you want to ride.
Yeah.
Just like a normal quiver, what is it sort of board you want.
So if someone came and said, I want to surf fifth left with you...
Well, you need one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be 20 Gs?
Yes.
Yeah. How long would it take to build?
4 months.
4 months, okay. Because you have to build it from scratch with carbon fibre, wouldn't you?
It's out of a mould.
Yeah.
So it's infusion process with carbon fibre.
Yeah.
And then also the modifying of the internals.
Yeah. Do you get a warranty?
Sort of. No, I'm not going to warranty it.
Is it like a Honda? Do you get 7 years warranty or something?
That or, you know, it's warranted up to 5 foot. You go over 5 foot.
Yeah.
Well, then that's your risk if it goes into the roof.
How fast do they go?
I've never really clocked it, but I can outrun a 10-foot wave.
Right.
But that's using the wave of itself.
Right, okay. What do you reckon, 40 Ks or something?
More like 60.
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
Mm. Depending.
Do you remember you made a custom-made one for that guy in WA with his surf on? What's his name again?
Oh, Taj.
Tasha's dad. Dad's got one, huh?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
That was way, way, way back in the beginning. And I went out, we got the very first ones, which were okay, but I was still tweaking them to get right for the surf. And I said to him, look, we're still tweaking it. It works. You can take one of these and try it out. And his dad was an older guy. Mm. And he was like, most like old guys, we have a hard time paddling now because... We've done so much paddling. The shoulders go and the back goes. So I set him up and he was good. He was getting all these outer waves, which he would like to surf, which he would never get to. But back then the boards weren't right. They weren't there yet. So eventually I said, look, it's too difficult because I've always done it. Yelling up.
Yeah.
It's too hard to deal with them that far away.
Yeah.
So I think it ended up just... Ending up in the quiver is one of the, you know, another historical thing.
Yeah. Taj would have loved it, I'd imagine. He tried it a few times.
It did. It was like, but it was too early days still.
Yeah.
Like now is the time with the electric that I can say, okay, an electric version, you got warranty. Go for it.
Yeah.
You got warranty.
Are they noisy, those ones? Are they noisy like a jet ski?
No. It's less noise than a whippersnipper.
Right, okay.
And it has muffles on it and it's the outlets under the water.
Yeah.
So it's not that noisy. But, again, the electric, that's to go.
Yeah, because it's silent. Huh?
It's silent. There's no emissions. There's no cost to run. There's no maintenance. There's no...
Are they like Teslas, like outrageously fast?
Yes. electric motors and the technology with the electric stuff with the controllers... it's all electronically controlled by an app on your phone.
Wow.
So you can dial the board up and down to for big, heavy guy, light guy, kids, pro, just like a Tesla.
Yeah. And would you have a little hand controller on the totally yep. electric ones? Or?
Yeah, so all the electric ones have a hand control.
Yeah.
They all have like a hand control.
A little slider for how
slider thing, and they run Bluetooth, okay. So they're not having to run mechanical cables.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings it back to more reliability.
Yeah. Do you ever get that thing though, Bluetooth speaker loses connection? Do you ever lose connection to those things?
No, because they have the antenna connections quite close.
Ah, okay.
And they're all being tested, so it works, pretty much works underwater.
Wow.
Yeah, and then there's the fail-safe, so you still have to have a manual cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
So the board...
On your wrist, isn't it?
Yeah, on your wrist. So if the board gets out of range, it yeah. automatically cuts.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so it's within that range and you adjust all that accordingly.
Yeah. Wow. It's pretty amazing, huh? And it's a thruster?
Yeah, that's a thruster. That's actually quad. It's got boxes for quad.
So futures, yeah. futures boxes?
Futures boxes. They can be a thruster, they can be a quad, they can be two-fin.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you want it.
And how do those things handle in the barrel?
That one is the best in the barrel. That, as you can see, these are the bigger ones. They're much more buoyant.
Yeah.
So unless you've got the weight and you're a bigger guy, you're going to have a hard time holding the rail, just like a normal, depending on how sucky it is.
Yeah, right.
But that one is designed for... I designed the Surfshark Island.
And what are they hard to ride?
No. If you already know how to surf, wakeboard, skateboard, any of that stuff, you're up and running in 2 minutes.
Yeah, right.
And you mastered it by the end of the day.
Is that quickly? Huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty good to have a fast learning curve.
Yeah, the learning curve's quick.
Are there any other people who ride them in Australia?
I have some customers like have purchased from JetSurf and we maintain over here for them. But it's very far and few between.
Mm.
A handful, that's it. That's from Brisbane to Cairns to WA to down to Victoria here in Sydney, and that's it.
What about the e-foiling thing? Because that's become quite big.
Yeah, so e-foiling is the new boy in town. So there was us and now there's them. So it's progressed again beyond us, beyond the jet boards.
Do their electric motors and stuff, are they possible to put into these things?
Well, there's a company, one of the jetboard companies in Europe, that have an attachment so you can put a foil on it.
Right, okay.
So you can have that board like yeah. that, which is all electric as well, or you attach the foil, which yeah. is only recent, and you have a foiling board.
It's pretty sick. Yes. Does it work though with that sort of shape?
Yeah, because the foiling boards are quite stumpy and short. They're not, they get out of the water quick.
Mm.
So there's no need to have any really board design because that's not what's in the water anymore.
Yeah.
It's more like a platform you're standing on.
Yeah, right.
So you know some of the foil boards are quite short. There's not much to the board. It's all about the wing and the shaft.
Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, they're the new boys. That's the next thing.
Yeah.
And I've seen some video now where guys are getting in the barrel. There's guys in chopes that are trying it.
With a foil?
Yeah.
Especially going to the foils with the big...
Yeah, I saw one guy got lipped. Yeah. He's trying to tuck because it wants to lift you because obviously the length of the shaft. But, yeah, they're going to get it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So, when you transition from bodyboards to powered boards, what do you enjoy about surfing and the waves? Because you know, for some people it's kind of the fact that there is no power and stuff. But what do you see and what do you enjoy from your surfing? As someone who has done sort of both.
The freedom, the creativity of it. Like you're not limited anymore. You can, on the worst days out there and on the best days, you're still going to get the buzz. You're still going to be able to create and enjoy and be out there. And, yeah, it just opens up much more. And also, too, you can try to find a spot to yourself. It's hard in Sydney, obviously, but when you get out of Sydney, you can find these breaks that are breaking, nobody on it. And seriously, in 45 minutes, you're done. You've got that many waves, you've lost count. And you just go, great, I'm going to sit on the beach, have a beer, I'm done. Yeah, it just doesn't, it's hard to explain.
Yeah, amazing. And just explain for me, so when these things first came out, you guys got pinged by Marine Harbours,
whatever they're called. Authorities, everyone, yeah.
That you're a PWC, personal watercraft.
Yeah, so
you took them to court.
Yeah, we took them to court.
Beat the bastards.
Beat them. yeah, they dismissed it, and they're just like, you know, they had all their so-called pros there that knew everything about it. And I tried really hard with them. I said, listen, let's get this thing right. Let's work together. And I actually mentioned that in the court, and the judge said that was quite honourable to say, look, they've been hardly against you and done wrong things, but I'm still willing to work with them.
So were they fining you guys when you were...
Yeah, they were trying to find us. They were fining me, and I was like, you know, this is not on. This is not right. And we tried to work with them. We tried to say, look, we'll get you the boards. Let's rate this thing. Let's go over it. And one of their comments was, yeah, you give us the boards, and then leave them with us, and we'll tell you how it goes. And we said, no, we can't do that. They're 20 grand each. Well, I'm not a company. So we work together, but we can't do it. They didn't want to do it. It was just easy to say, oh, it's a jet ski. Throw it in the bag with everything else. Here's a fine, go away. That sort of attitude. And I said, no, that's not on. So we took them to court. We got in there. They tried their best. They tried to manipulate, as usual, do whatever they could. At the end of the day, no.
Wow. So what year was that?
What year was that?
7 or 8 years ago, wasn't it?
8 years ago.
2014-ish.
2014
or something. Yeah, right,
okay.
Yeah. So for the people who, you know, sort of don't dig them, do you reckon if they had a go, they would change their mind in about 5 minutes?
It has happened already.
Really?
Yeah, like there's been times where I've been down somewhere and I've had my bit, and the guy's like, oh, and I said, oh, look here, man, take it, go out here now. This is what you do. Because there's an induction with it. You got to explain, like, this, 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 and this. But he was a surfer. And after that, he was like, yeah, I want one. So he went from being someone that wanted to be aggressive and aggro to a guy who was like my best mate. Like 10 minutes later, he was my best mate.
Yeah.
So.
What did he say once he had ridden it? Can you remember his reaction?
He was speechless. I was just like, you know, good, good. And he's like, yeah. He goes, oh, you got any more fuel? That was it. I said, nah, man, I'm out. Sorry, I want to get home. It's lunchtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it's you get the one percenters. But yeah.
Does anyone want to have a swing yet?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, you know, the aggression part, I don't like it. I don't like aggression in any way. But I've over the years I've learned how to sort of bring the situation down.
How do you do that?
Just by staying calm and neutral and trying to explain. Just trying, you know, because I don't hit anyone. I don't hurt anyone. I haven't hit anyone. I don't do anything, really. And it's not like I'm dropping a blatant dropping in. I'm not dropping in. I'm lining it up.
No need for you to drop in because you can get it from 400 metres deep.
There's no need to drop in. So it's like, hey, man, I'll call it. I'm coming through. Yeah, whoop. And if they want to drop in, they can drop in. But majority of the time they try to drop in, they just end up in the lip and over anyway. But, yeah, I just sort of stay neutral, try to calm them down. Usually it's just all talk.
Yeah.
You know, so. But it's been like that. It's been a battle. But that's how it's been since the beginning, with bodyboarders against surfers and surfers against surf skis, and that's sort of the surf culture.
Yeah, you would have seen a fair bit of it over the years, particularly the Booger thing. Because the Booger thing was serious. When Sarge...
Oh, it was so serious.
It was like, in the 90s.
Yeah. It was like so territorial and so aggressive and, you know, and it was hard. But fortunately, that crew stuck together in a way.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it's a group, you know, and they stick together and everyone realises that they're only out there to have fun.
And you're having fun out there?
Hey, yeah, man, I'm 50 and I'm still charging.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.